Here is the latest news from the NBC newsroom in Chicago. Once again, the Allied supply line to the Rhine has been opened, despite fanatical German counterattacks. The Germans had cut the road north of Eindhoven, but the Allies struck back and opened the vital corridor toward the Arnhem Pocket in Holland. British tanks, supported by American paratroopers, reopened the line to the beleaguered Tommies, who have withstood the best the Germans could hurl at them for the past 9 days. The situation at the moment is not one of the best, but an Allied officer also declares that it is not critical. Incidentally, it's revealed now the German SS troops are guarding the Franco-German frontier in the south to prohibit the further Nazi units on the French side of the border from retreating into Germany. The order is said to apply to German officers as well as all ranks of enlisted men. But this is not to be taken that the end is in sight. Far from that. For General de Gaulle warns that the hardest fighting lies ahead inside Germany. The French leader today flatly said that the end of the war in Europe must not be expected before next spring. As for what's to happen to Germany after its military collapse, the British so far have said nothing of the plan suggested by Treasury Secretary Morgenthau. Under his plan, the Reich would be converted into a country of small farms. But the Berlin radio has been saying plenty. Screamed the Berlin radio, Clemenceau has said there were 23 million Germans too many. Morgenthau wants to see 43 million Germans exterminated. The British government has announced a huge new social security plan that would cover every man, woman, and child in Britain. The huge undertaking is expected to be launched next year. It would cost $2.6 billion the first year, and it would include unemployment and sickness insurance, health, service, widows and retirement pensions, motherhood grants, and death grants. England has been attacked by robot bombs for the 10th straight night. Apparently, the flying bombs were launched from German planes in the North Sea region. The Red Army's 9-day-old Baltic offensive has cleared the Nazis from almost all of Estonia. Russian columns have taken the seaport of Haapsalu and a 35-mile stretch along the Gulf of Riga in their drive toward the Latvian capital. American troops in Italy are closing in on the vital highway between Rimini and Bologna. And across the Adriatic, large German forces are said to be pulling out of Greece in a dash toward the Albanian coast. In the Pacific, an American flying boat is credited with the unusual feat of sinking 3 Jap warships in a single bombing run. The Yank flyers discovered 2 enemy destroyers, or rather destroyer escorts, taking fuel from a seaplane tender off the southern Philippines and destroyed all 3 vessels. 2 large Jap cargo ships were sunk in other action. Here at home, Governor Dewey has struck back hard at President Roosevelt in a speech broadcast from Oklahoma City. The Republican presidential candidate described the Roosevelt record as desperately bad and called for a Republican victory to restore integrity to the White House so that its spoken word can be trusted once again. Dewey quoted General Marshall as testifying that the United States Army was only 25% ready 1 year after war broke out in Europe. He quoted General Arnold as saying that December 7, 1941, found the Army Air Forces equipped with plans but not planes. And he quoted Senator Truman, now the Democratic vice presidential candidate, as telling the Senate 4 months before Pearl Harbor that responsibility for unpreparedness belonged in the White House. Dewey accused Mr. Roosevelt of joking about depressions and unemployment, and he declared the president is indispensable only to a host of political job holders, to Sidney Hillman and Earl Browder. The Republican candidate said the War Department demobilization plan contains no word of the speedy discharges mentioned by Mr. Roosevelt Saturday night. It's revealed tonight that President Roosevelt will make a campaign speech in New York. Democratic National Chairman Robert Hannigan, back from a trip through the West, says that the president probably will deliver several campaign talks in New York State and one in New York City. Hannigan says Governor Dewey's first campaign efforts have been a failure because the people of America abhor deliberate untruths. Hannigan claims that even Dewey himself doesn't believe the charges he made against the administration's record on war preparedness and plans for demobilization. And that's the latest news from the NBC newsroom in Chicago. Greg Donovan speaking. This is the National Broadcasting Company.
AM Eastern Wartime, WEAF, New York. Hello, everyone. Here is the latest news from the NBC newsroom in New York. The British Second Army has still not established a firm junction with the isolated British paratroopers encircled by the Nazis northwest of Arnhem, Holland, for the past 9 days. And the gallant airborne men themselves, fighting against heavy odds, have been forced to yield their precarious foothold on the north bank of the Lower Rhine. The supply corridor, which General Dempsey's Second Army men have established with the paratroopers, is a narrow one, 50 miles long, and is threatened by determined Nazi counterattacks. But the corridor is still being held open, and the supplies are still getting through. The paratroopers' situation is described by headquarters as not critical, but the announcement emphasizes that the supply corridor is extremely vulnerable. Meanwhile, two new thrusts into Germany by American and British troops have been made east and southeast of the Dutch town of Nijmegen. These new footholds across the border, apparently established by airborne landings, are pointed toward Kleve, northern terminus of the Siegfried Line. These new invasion thrusts put the Allies less than 50 miles from the great German industrial center of Essen, site of the huge Krupp armament works. Meanwhile, Supreme Headquarters today told the 12 million slave workers inside Germany that the hour for action has come. The announcement said that the organized cells of these foreign workers in Germany are now receiving Allied arms. The workers were told to leave their jobs in war factories, but to avoid any unorganized resistance which would put them in the clutches of the Gestapo. And further south along the Western Front, where the American 7th Army is fighting, the Germans are said to have sealed the Franco-German border, which will prevent any further retreats by the Nazi troops from France into Germany. Behind the enemy lines, strategic targets were raided today by more than 2,000 American bombers and fighters. In the heaviest fighting attacks on Germany this month, the Yanks pounded chemical and synthetic oil works at Ludwigshafen and rail yards at Frankfurt and Koblenz. The last two cities are important supply depots for the Siegfried Line. Our men encountered no enemy planes. A fleet of 300 British heavy bombers rained explosives on the besieged port of Calais, 21 miles across the English Channel from Dover. In Italy, American 5th Army troops, who have breached the Gothic Line in its central sector, are 12 miles from the Bologna-Remini highway tonight. At the Adriatic end of the line, 8th Army forces are fighting within 1,500 yards of the Rubicon River, where Julius Caesar made his historic crossing in 49 B.C. The Germans in Italy are fighting desperately at both the 5th and 8th Army salients. According to an official announcement, these Nazis are still holding and following Marshal Kesselring's orders to fight to the last man and the last bullet. On the Eastern Front, the Russians have captured the Estonian port of Haapsalu and seized a 35-mile stretch of coast along the Gulf of Riga. Riga itself, capital of Latvia and the largest city in the Baltic states, is under fire by Soviet troops who are only 6 miles south of the city. Other Red Army columns are approaching Riga from the north and east. The Russians have smashed nearly a score of transports which were attempting to evacuate German troops from the Baltic states by sea. And the heavy naval gunfire which echoed all day in the Finnish Gulf indicates that the Red Fleet has moved in strength into the Baltic Sea, from which they were shut out by the German blockade for more than 3 years. In the Pacific, Americans fighting on Peleliu Island are pushing to the rear of the Jap defenders on Umobrogol Mountain in a plan to isolate this tough point of enemy resistance. Tokyo reports continuing air attacks on the Philippines by seaborne American planes. These air attacks on the Philippines, according to Admiral Nimitz, have smashed Japan's air force in the Philippines and routed the enemy fleet, which was intended to defend the islands. Meanwhile, the grand total of damage inflicted on the enemy since August 30th by Admiral Halsey's Third Fleet, which incorporates the carriers used against the Philippines, has been announced. In the last 25 days, the sea and air arms under Halsey's command have sunk 122 Japanese ships and 61 small craft, and they have damaged 137 enemy ships and 109 smaller boats, and then destroyed nearly 1,000 planes. And here at home, Governor Dewey, speaking in Oklahoma City tonight, delivered the most biting of his campaign speeches to date. The Republican presidential nominee said, "The time has come to put a stop to everything that is summed up in that phrase, the indispensable man." And that is a summary of the latest news from the NBC newsroom in New York. Don Pardo speaking. This is the National Broadcasting Company.